is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's continue our Illini basketball conversation. Sean says on the U of I Illini Link text line, UNC over Kansas, that being for the services of Coleman Hawkins if he comes back to school. Because I'm good with that. Bill Self, you strike out too.
Bill Self hasn't struck out a lot this offseason.
No.
So it's, I don't think he'd be too upset.
I would be with you on that. Big news getting, of course, Hunter Dickinson back. That was fairly well expected. He's not on NBA draft boards. He's making a bunch of NIL. Getting him back for another year. And then they have a five-star big man coming in Flory Badinga. Rakees Passmore also signed, a top 50 guy in the class. And then they have four committed transfers. Ryland Griffin, shooter from Alabama. AJ Storr, might have heard of him from Wisconsin. Zeke Mayo, where was he from?
South Dakota State. From Lawrence, Kansas.
Gotcha. Point guard. And then Riley Kugel, transfer, 6'5" guard from Florida as well. So they have one of the very best. Actually, 24/7 has them number two in the transfer rankings right now as far as that class.
With DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams, and Hunter Dickinson back.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah, kind of a big deal. Indiana, by the way, number
one.
It'd
be pretty hard for me to envision them not being preseason number one again. And I think this year it has a lot more validity than it did last year.
They just had no depth last year. I know that Johnny Furphy really came on for them. He came out of nowhere for me, and I know that's probably dumb if I would have looked at it a little bit more closely. I just hadn't been very familiar with him, and I know that he was absent from that exhibition game in Champaign, right? I don't think he played in that one. And then he comes on the scene, and he's going to be a first-round draft pick this year.
Is he really?
That's what I'd seen. That's what I'd thought. So
makes sense. This class is so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a nice player, but he was very inconsistent, and his numbers were not great last season, and he's going in the first round. Because, yeah, in this type of class, take a 19-year-old who's an elite shooter and see what you can do with them. I mean,
That's
why Zach Edey's probably going to go in the first round and some of these other guys.
Do you think we'll get to a point, not to say that Kansas wasn't going to be tough to deal with anyway in the AJ Storr sweepstakes or a player or what have you. I thought initially Kentucky was going to be the main competition. Will we reach a point as we're still sitting here early May and there hasn't been an answer at the wing, the big guard wing spot, primary scorer, filling the Terrence Shannon role and taking on a huge share of the NIL cap space? Will we reach a point where we have some question or regret on Illinois not just being literally all in, whatever it takes, on AJ Storr?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the connection there was obvious. It's a guy that would have fit perfectly in that role for you. And it depends what the ask was, really. I mean, if you're talking about this guy's making the most NIL of anyone in the country and he's got all these other demands and he needs 15 shots a game or he's going to transfer, like, then we're getting a little too far there. But I think there probably will be a point. It's hard for me to envision a scenario where Illinois lands somebody with really anywhere close to the impact that AJ Storr would have made at this point in the offseason. And that could sting because I think the fit was there and he would have been exactly the type of guy that you needed to put into that Shannon role, and you could already trust to be a first scoring option in the Big Ten with some untapped potential still left as an underclassman.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to dry up, so I'm sure they're thinking that, like, man, we could have done things a little differently there.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, the story isn't ended yet. We'll see what Illinois' pivot ultimately is. I do know that, obviously, as we've talked about, the ask was really, really high. I know that some have speculated and seen that AJ Storr's girlfriend, who's on the women's basketball side, also committed to Kansas. Was there a thought of, like, did they have to be a package deal? Did you have to take her on the women's side and give her a decent chunk of NIL? I know that there were just perks that his side wanted in addition to the NIL that I don't know. It just seemed like a lot. There's a lot going on with his situation, and Illinois ultimately didn't go all the way in and pivoted away. And we'll see who they ended up with ultimately. Let me ask you this too, something that's been on my mind. Does it bother you? Because one thing that's gotten thrown out there was Storr. And look, one of the funny things to me, not saying that there aren't true valid concerns about some guys that are in the portal and that some of the buzz coming out of their previous stop isn't legitimate and something you should consider, but that doesn't seem like a lot of guys that hit the portal. There's either leaked information via that staff or the fan base is saying like, oh, this, you should know what was up with this guy in the locker room last year, or off the court last year, or all those type of things. But one thing I did want to ask you, like, Storr has legitimately gone to like 7 schools in 7 years or something like that. High school, he bounced around a bunch. Some of it was COVID related, trying to find a school that would play during COVID, but did go from St. John's, coaching change to Wisconsin, and then try to go get a huge payday in the portal. Do you worry at all? Some people are really anti, hey, if somebody's gone to 3 schools in 3 years, we don't want them at Illinois. Obviously, they're someone that's you can't win with, not sustainable, what have you. How do you view that? Because I think it's an interesting topic, interesting conversation, because some are very anti, and some I think maybe just know it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah. I think you have to be careful with it. It depends on the situation a lot too, because there can be a guy that has left 3 times, but their coach has gotten fired every year, or it was a dysfunctional team that he just made a mistake committing to the first time and anyone would have left there and their whole roster ended up leaving.
Louisville.
Yes. Anyone from Louisville, you get a pass because that was a disaster. So, like Trey White's an example on Illinois. This is his 3rd school in 3 years.
True, yeah.
I don't read much into that because Louisville was a complete joke and their whole roster is left and their coach was fired. Like, that's, I mean, if there was a good situation there at Louisville last year and he probably stays there. So, I think you have to look at it from that perspective. But I do get concerned because I do think that there is an there's certain guys that in the NIL era are just looking for the biggest paycheck every year. And with the way things are right now, where you can transfer as many times as you want, you can do that. There's guys that can do that and say, I just want to see who can give me the most money. And you know what? You can't totally blame those guys for doing that, but you have to realize that maybe this isn't a guy that is all in on, hey, Illinois, I can't wait to be a part of this program. I can't wait to win. I can't wait to buy into this team and try.
It's to be more, coached hard, too.
To be coached hard, yeah. Some guys are going to be out there and say, I want the most money possible, and I want the most shot attempts possible at my next spot. And that's how I'm going to make my decision. And then, oh, if that doesn't go well this year, I'll jump in the portal and go to my 3rd school and see what I can do. So I think there's certain guys where it's different for everybody, where one guy might truly be a really good player and a really good teammate and a guy that would really help a program, but he happens to have bounced around a lot because of certain situations out of his control. There's other guys that definitely you can kind of read between the lines and say, yeah, especially when you're hearing certain things like, oh, the ask was crazy. Like when you have a player coming back and saying, I want this, 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 and this, that definitely is a red flag for me because it feels like a lot of those asks aren't basketball related. They're compensation related. And I think that's when you start to question what are the real priorities of this player, because you want to be able to put together not only a really talented roster, but as we saw last year, a roster that fits together and works well together and doesn't have any problems and doesn't have these side storylines about, oh, Sky Clark just left the program in January. Mm-hmm. Now we got to talk about this instead of basketball team. Oh, Matthew Meyer did what now? Oh, Jaden Epps didn't go back into this game now because he sat on the bench. Like, we've seen both sides of what a good locker room and a bad locker room looks like, and that's something you have to consider when recruiting the portal for sure.
I agree with all that. It's well said. I do think, and sometimes it's not the player asking for this.
Oh, yeah.
It's their people, maybe the family member. And I think in AJ's situation that was certainly at play based on what I heard. But, yeah, I know that, like you said, you have to evaluate some of the motivations, some of the way guys are what motivates them, what their mental makeup is, what they're going to be bought into, and that those whole type of things. And Are they good for your locker room? Are they good for your chemistry? And if even if it's viewed as a good kid or a player that isn't necessarily the problem, but just they're going to have voices in their ear throughout the season that may not be a good influence. I mean, I don't want to say that I know everything with Jaden Epps or also completely absolve him from the refusing to go back in, which obviously that did happen against Northwestern. But, I mean, his side, his trainer in particular, I know his dad was unhappy, but his trainer seemed to be the most vocal, was just like anti Brad Underwood in Illinois and really, I think, did not contribute to him doing a very good job of staying focused and bought in on Illinois. Adam Miller's mom was a lot. Not that I'm here trying to go parent shaming here, but had like a meeting with Brad or wanted to, I don't even think they had one. They wanted a meeting with Brad a few weeks into the season, his freshman year, and obviously he ends up transferring at the end of the year. I think Brad is trying to avoid those type of situations as much as possible, just for the standpoint of you have a team that clicked so well last year and personalities were great. The collective buy-in to winning and unselfishness. And when it was some guy's night and somebody didn't play as much, was there some guys like a Dane Danger who was maybe wanting more for himself if he could? Yeah, but they were still showing up to practice and games and whatnot and wanted to be a part of winning, and they were. And Sean mentions here DGL as an example. Like, there obviously was some noise in the background for DGL this past year from his mom on social media, but
as it seems right now, DGL has pushed aside all the outside voices in his head and wants to do what he wants to do, which is pretty rare.
I know. I give him a lot of credit for that. I give him a lot of credit. And obviously the portal window is shut and he's not in it. He's sticking here. They've recruited other guards. They've obviously brought in Kylan Boswell. They brought in for a visit Dante Maddox. They are still in the mix for a big guard or a wing. And DGL's still here, committed to Illinois, and yeah, working hard and trying to show what his true potential is ultimately. So that's all great. I did think too, and no, I promise I'm not just filibustering here with the big man. Let's just get right to it.
We're gonna have to catch another break and tease it again.
No, I don't want to do that. Let's talk a little bit about it, and then we'll follow up with some more here. Illinois, their staff did go overseas here recently. I know that Coleman said there in that clip that I didn't want to bother Brad Underwood while he was in Spain. Why would he be in Spain? You got any ideas, Kyle? Rome?
Just a vacation?
No, Rome's in Italy. I'm an idiot. Spain. What's
just the
Madrid.
Food. Yeah.
Barcelona.
Mm. Just seeing some sights, taking some time off.
Yeah.
Not doing any work. Nothing to be done now. It's the off season.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah. Rosters are set. Igor Demon over there is a guard, 6'8", 9-ish, on the Real Madrid team. That he is I think he's like 18 years old, I believe. So while he's playing on a professional team, he also plays on some of their under 19 squads and those type of things. He is still an amateur who's projected by ESPN to be drafted in the lottery in the 2025 NBA draft. So that's a guy that Illinois has had eyes on and that they are interested in trying to see what that would look like if he wants to come to college. And obviously you got to navigate some things NIL-wise with international prospects. And I would imagine that he commands a big dollar figure because Real Madrid is going to want to keep him for another year before losing him to the NBA. And if not them, some other pro team in this what's thought to be one more season before he goes to the NBA. So I think that's the reason that they were in Spain, just to speak it flatly. You know, I didn't come out here voicing that, but if Coleman's going to tell people that Brad was in Spain, I'll tell you why. I think they were also dabbling in the Serbia-Montenegro area as well. And one big man that I would start to learn a little bit more about, and I think that we'll see potentially some movement here in the near future on that, is Tomislav Avisic, originally from Croatia, playing now in Montenegro professionally. And his brother, which I'm not even going to try to say his first name.
Zvonimir.
Zvonimir. Ivicic. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Ivicic. Big Z, known probably more commonly, playing for Kentucky last year. He had some, was it academic issues? Some kind of hold up with
just
him.
Some type of eligibility from coming over overseas where he didn't get cleared until like January or something.
Yeah. But a very talented 7'2" big man who was playing for Kentucky last year, now going to be at Arkansas with Coach Cal. He was recruited by Orlando Antigua to Kentucky, and he has a twin brother, Tomislav Ivicic, over there in Montenegro. 7 foot, so
do we start calling him Big T?
I think we should call him Big T. Yeah, we should call him Big T. I would say I'm getting more familiar with him. I've heard his name for a little while. I've looked at some of his stats. Ability to shoot the three, for sure. 7 footer that can step out and shoot it. And I think offensively, he's pretty skilled. He's a lefty, soft touch with the left hand inside. He's going to be 21 years old come August. So someone that has some more maturation than maybe plucking an international like Igor Demin. And obviously when you're talking lottery pick talent, but we talked earlier in the week, I think, about some of Illinois' other international ads. This is different than going and getting Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk, or even just, I know it's different because Georgie was already over in the States, but someone that's a high school age, freshman in college type of age. This guy's going to be 21. You can tell he's a little bit more mature with his body. I think that's important for someone that they need to come in and play minutes with Merez, for sure. And I think the stretch big man is something that Illinois loved having last year that they would love to have again. And at 7 foot, he's got ability more so than Coleman at 6'10". And Tomislav has decently long arms to contest some shots around the basket. Does he need to get stronger to take another step as far as finishing through contact, playing in the Big Ten type of thing? If he were to go to Illinois, I would say yes. But he's someone that Illinois has pursued. And I think with Orlando Antigua's connection to his family, familiarity, having coached Big Z at Kentucky, having gotten him there, I think that it's an option that Illinois is making a serious move at. So we'll see where that one lands, but he was one of the guys they were overseeing recently as well.
What league was he playing in over in Europe as a 20-year-old? If you look online, you can kind of search him up and see the numbers aren't going to jump off the page at you, but it was a professional league. Is that right?
He's playing against grown men over there. Yep. He's playing against grown men for sure. He's in Montenegro. I'd have to see what the – is it like the tier B or what ultimately it is here. But if you look at some of his stats, his league stats, he's played in – he's got statistics for two leagues, the ABA League and the Montenegro Estre Liga, I'm sorry, as far as that goes. But if you combined – let's see, if ABA, 24 games, 7 points, 4 rebounds per game, looks about 17 minutes, 1 block. And then you go to the Montenegro Estre Liga, 22 minutes a game, 14-game sample size, 12 points, 7.5 rebounds, and about 1.5 blocks. So more time, more effectiveness there. I will say if you're looking, it's not a crazy sample size as far as the three-point rate. Like, I think between those two, he's played 38 games. He's taken in the area of 63, so about 2 threes a game. But, I mean, he's shooting 43% from three on that volume. So 80-plus percent at the free throw line. And someone that finishing around the basket, two-point field goal percentage around 60%. So his efficiency is really, really good. Now, again, has not been a star player. He's a 20-year-old playing in a pro league as an amateur. So he doesn't have, to my knowledge, I think when you have guys that have college eligibility, they haven't taken that pro deal. Or I don't know how some of that works. If they have taken money, they'd pay it back. But it'd be my understanding that he probably hasn't.
Does he come over with the standard 4 years of college eligibility, even as a guy about to turn 21?
I would think so. I would think so, for sure. I know that. One thing I came across today, he has played USC on their foreign trip last year, played his team. And I think he scored somewhere about 20 in that game. So he,
I'll try to effort that at the break. If I can get a stat line.
Hit some threes. And again, someone that's 7 foot, some intriguing offensive skill. I think he's a good passer out of the post. He can extend out, comfortable playing kind of as a spot up man on the perimeter, play pick and pop, those type of things. Defensively, you'd play drop coverage with him at the five. He's not all that quick and up and down the floor from what I've seen so far. Not necessarily his strength. He's not the most lumbering big man in the world, but he's not super agile either. So he's not the same athlete that Big Z is at Kentucky. If you've watched him or if you look up some of his highlights in terms of some of the blocks he's had or the finishes at the rim, he's not the quick twitch athlete that his brother is, and his brother is listed at 2 inches taller than him, but he is somebody that for Illinois looking at a five man would make sense for sure. And I know some may prefer a proven college big man. We talked about Ugana Onyenso from Kentucky. It sounds like Alabama's in that one, and I don't know who else. I know that one would certainly be more of an expensive route there for the NIL front, and he is going to go through the draft process as well. So that's what I got for you so far. I know that they're taking a close look at him, and they got back from their foreign trip earlier this week, and we'll see where that one ultimately goes.
Definitely intriguing. I just give me some type of front court piece with some upside and a guy that can stretch the floor, a guy that the thing about him is he's just going to be completely unknown, right? It's just he could end up being an all-conference player. He could end up not being ready to play in the Big Ten, but I almost this roster's kind of filled with what are some of these guys going to be in the Big Ten? So let's throw them in the mix and let's just have some fun come November next year.
I think that I know we got to catch a break here. We can talk a little bit more about it. But the ability to have, the shooting of Humrickaus, the shooting of Kylan Boswell, if you have a five that, again, has the ability to space it out and shoot it, we'll see who Illinois gets as a big guard option, wing option type. Those are some things that are pretty intriguing for sure. And maybe it is another part of the long-term picture, or I say long term. Yeah, 2 years is long term currently in the college basketball landscape. It could contribute to another situation where Illinois could be good next year, a tournament team next year, but maybe the year after that, if you get some of these guys back and if Tomislav is added to the mix and then brought back for another season, time with Fletch, time with Orlando to work, then Illinois could really be cooking 2 years from now. I know it's hard to think that way. If we were having that type of conversation 5 years ago, you wouldn't have been surprised by it. Like, oh yeah, that's usually in line with what a program has to do after going to Elite Eight and then losing a bunch of starters and pieces off that team. But obviously it's all been turned upside down by the portal. And speaking of the portal, we could talk about some guys that Illinois has been connected to at that big guard wing spot when we return, but got to catch a break. Before that, got to do a little work. Let me tell you about Busey. We've got graduations coming up. Maybe some have even already taken place. I'd say that probably here in the next week or so. I know that Kyle having finals, the reading day that was or wasn't yesterday for the U of I, that's either here nor there. But at Busey, they're congratulating the upcoming graduates for their dedication to education. Their college diploma will be in hand. And as they enter the workforce, prepare for your financial future with Busey. Exercise smart spending habits. Live within your means. Think about major purchases and don't max out credit cards. Instead, focus on some of these tips that Busey is providing. Build an emergency fund, pay down debt, and save for retirement. You can create a budget with some complimentary resources and expert advice from Busey by going to their blog called Money Matters at Busey.com. You'll also find financial calculators and financial assessments to help you evaluate your options to your money questions. Their experts can also help you with outcome-based investing, retirement and estate planning, tax planning, and risk management. Let Busey put you on the path to success with customized solution for your financial needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. Busey, member FDIC.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience. Several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business. Every month we celebrate law enforcement at Stevie J Broadcasting. Officer Sarah Links is our law enforcement official of the month from the Urbana Police Department. They say you're a star. Congratulations.
Ooh. Oh, thank you. I don't know about being a star, but I appreciate that.
Well, you've done this work for a number of years in your patrol.
I have. I've been with Urbana for 18, and I've been doing this a total of 22 years.
What drew you to law enforcement?
Right. I always joke and tell people I never wanted to pick out my outfit every day, but actually, I just wanted to help people, and I like to problem solve, and I get a different problem every day to solve.
It's never the same.
It is never the same.
Keep up your great work. We certainly appreciate the vast majority appreciate what police do.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you appreciate for your support, because we do greatly appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you. Officer Sarah Links, our law enforcement official of the month, brought to you by MX Electric.
Relax, call back 217-359-7293.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on-site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
Racing, racing, racing. Friday Night Lights at Farmer City Raceway is a blast. Only $15 admission and kids 12 and under are free. Make arrangements to get your RV and reserve a place to camp. This Friday, May 3rd, has Big Daddy Scrap late models with a full show. Head to 850 Grove Street in Farmer City with hot laps at 6:30. Details at farmercityracing.com. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
So you live in the country or a rural area, but you struggle with internet, right? Well, not anymore. MF Wireless is your premier rural high-speed internet provider. Macomber Farms Wireless is a local internet provider. It started in Camargo. Their focus, providing you reliable, high-speed internet with friendly and fast customer service. Just go to MF, as in Macomber Farms, mfwireless.com. Check for coverage. mfwireless.com.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It is a Friday, so we know we got to get to that as far as celebrating the week and some other things to toast as we head into the weekend. One thing that we can mention, two Illini, bet you can guess who they are, receiving invites to the NBA Draft Combine. Jeff Goodman, Field of 68, just tweeted out the list of invitees for the 2024 Draft Combine. Both Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon Jr., invited to participate. So congrats to them. We'll be looking forward to that. Do we know what the combine dates are, Kyle? It's coming up this month. I don't know exactly.
Let's see.
May 12th through the 19th, I'm seeing. Okay. Yeah. So that is...
I feel like this combine, more than anything, with how much it's been talked about, that this class is weak, it feels like this combine could really swing some guys. Like if Terrence Shannon goes in there and has a really good combine, and we obviously know he's going to test well, and obviously the off-court thing as well has to go his way, but
yep.
It feels like that can sway a team in this type of class to be like, this guy has the traits that we want to see. Like, let's take a Coleman Hawkins. Like, I know you talked about how the drills are dumb sometimes, and I agree, but like if he shoots the heck out of the ball at the combine, he tests well, he's moving well, obviously with the knee injury, like that could be the difference between him being picked 38th and not being picked at all, because it just feels like the second round this year is just kind of a pick your poison of anybody.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think that the status and health of Coleman's knee, and he's mentioned that it's been tendonitis and that the real way to get past it is to rest it. And obviously, he didn't really have that option to be able to do so this past year to contribute to Illinois like he wanted to, and to be able to answer the call for them. So how much has he been able to heal that up prior to the combine? I think it's going to be interesting to see. Just his overall mobility. Now, he still found a way to shoot it at a pretty good clip. I know he struggled early, like right when that injury flared up the most around that Marquette game and really bothered him. He missed a couple of games, and his three-point percentages weren't great in the early going, but he got it up to what did he finish at? Was it like 36%? Was he 38? I don't know if he was 38. Maybe that's a little bit on the high end.
I think he was 38.
37 is where it landed. So it's 37% from the three after shooting 28% the year before that. Big time improvement for sure. Turnovers went down a big amount for sure as well. And then just overall consistency. So, yeah, I think in the combine for him to go out there, and I think especially some of the 5-on-5 stuff, admittedly, similar to like an AAU type, what may not be the most structured. And these guys haven't played together. And I know that they have coaches drawing some stuff up, but usually it's like basic pick and roll and whatnot. But if Coleman kind of maybe more in that type of a look, the NBA is more of a kind of up and down game, and sometimes not super half court oriented always. Maybe it's Coleman switching on the guys and showing that that knee looks good and that he can guard pretty much any position out there. And obviously, other than maybe a lumbering five, which we don't see a lot of those in the NBA anymore. On that note, though, it'll be interesting how Zach Edey looks at the combine. He's going to be there as well.
He's going to look big. That's what he is.
That's Kyle's guy. And
he's going to show up to the combine. He's going to be 7'4". That's
you're right.
What he does,
but it just kind of
not going to move well.
Yeah, I would say how he looks in some of those 5-on-5s. Now anybody that's going to be on the receiving end of trying to guard him,
well, right,
he has the ball around the post. That's going to be tough. But yeah, defensively, that would be very interesting for sure. Other notable invitees: Ryan Kalkbrenner, who recently announced he's going back to Creighton, the big man from the St. Louis area. He'll be there as well. I won't read the full list because there's too many.
Is he really going to be there? Or is he just on the list? Like,
he's on the list.
Why would you make a post and be like, I'm back at Creighton and then go to the combine? What in the world?
Good question, for sure. There will be some big man clashes. I shouldn't say that Zach Edey's just going to own the paint. Donovan Kling is going to be there as well. Mm.
I mean, he kind of owned the paint against him in the national title game, but it didn't matter.
Yeah. And I don't know as far as maybe someone probably like Zach Edey might want to play 5-on-5. A lot of times these guys that are projected to be higher up in the draft don't play in the 5-on-5 type of stuff. But Zach is thought to be – I've seen him out there as like a late first-round pick. I don't know if that's still holding. Is that kind of what the most recent has been? Mid to late first. Any intel on where David Jones is?
Now, projected? Why would you bring that name up
on this show? It's on the list. It's on the list. Dalton Connect, Tyler Kolick.
Boo this man. We don't want to hear that name.
Okay. Noted. Jackson Robinson from BYU. He's a guy in the transfer portal. Let's go there next. All right. Now that Illinois is not getting AJ Storr, if there was a world where David Jones was going to enter the portal, we didn't go there. So we're in a different one, different universe.
What if a guy just wants to go in the portal after the deadline and says, I'm suing the NCAA? Isn't he going to do it?
It would be of zero surprise to me. Yeah.
Let's not start that.
Please not. Please no. I don't need any of that. Of the wings and big guards out there, there have been a few that Illinois has been linked to, at least as far as interest, contact, those type of things of late. I'll start with, in my opinion, the guy that would probably be at the top of my wish list. Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall is one of the top guys in the portal. He's a first team all Big East guy last year, transferring from Seton Hall, originally at Syracuse, then went to Seton Hall. There's been a lot of expectation that he's going to stay in the Northeast. Well, that's going to be remaining in the Big East. I guess that would really be your only option, although Syracuse obviously in the ACC. But as soon as he went in, everyone really shined the spotlight on St. John's. Now, one thing, Kyle, I think you've brought this up here recently, and it's fair. People were doing that for Cliff Amore as well, and nothing came of that. I don't even know if St. John's is one of his finalists. I know he's taken a handful of visits here. So maybe that's a situation where similarly a guy from that area, I think Kadari is he from the Bronx? I think he's from New York for sure. Is St. John's going to be able to close the deal on that and take some of the initial buzz and turn it into a commitment so
Rick
far?
Pitino taking a nap or what?
I don't know. Come out looking like a vampire. But yeah, I don't know that. I know that Kadari is scheduled to take a visit to Oklahoma, which I found is an interesting choice.
Beat them out.
He'll be at Oklahoma this weekend. There's been some talk of maybe Kentucky. I don't know if that was pre. I don't see Kentucky's added so many pieces. They probably had a ton to replace.
I mean, they had a whole roster to build. So it's kind of like the Louisville situation. If you're a transfer, if you can dribble the ball, Kentucky has called you.
Kentucky is in the mix for sure. They just got Kobe Brea, though.
That's right.
Not to say they couldn't get Kadari Richmond, who's a different type of player. One thing that is a knock on him, he's not a great shooter. Now, he is just a dog and an ability to attack the rim and play through contact around the basket and defend and pass. Like, I think 5+ assists per game, can play in like a lead guard role. But I think also if you have two ball handlers in Kylan Boswell and Kadari Richmond, where Kylan can play off the ball, as I've talked about ad nauseum, just his ability to fill it up as a spot-up shooter, I think that would be a dynamite pairing and would make Illinois – I think the needle would really move there if Illinois was able to get him. I bet Orlando is – I know that his connections out east have Illinois kicking the tires, trying to work it, see where it goes type of thing. I don't know that it's – how realistic it is, I don't know at this point. I know that St. John's has gotten all the buzz so far, but maybe if that persists – or I should say, if the recruitment persists and he doesn't land there, maybe there is a window to make something happen. And I think that Illinois has still a great sell for a big guard wing on all the notes of Shannon and all the NIL money that Shannon was able to get last year and could still throw at somebody.
Do you think this is kind of a situation now where Illinois just wants to get the best scorer they can find, regardless of position? Because it does feel like lead guard is not necessarily their need, but when you can get a guy who can score like Kadari can, who can run a team like he can, if you can find a way to put yourself in that mix, you're obviously going to do it. And I know there's probably some two guards that Illinois has gone after. I feel like our conversations have been primarily focused on a wing and on a bigger wing.
Yep.
But at this point, you almost just want to go get a guy who can score the ball for you, because that's what this roster really needs, is a guy who's proven he can score the ball at the high major level and be kind of a go-to scoring option. So is it just kind of like we'll see what we can get at this point?
That's a good question. I think they do definitely want some size, ideally, while they did.
How big is Kadari Richmond?
6'6", 210.
6'6", okay.
I mean, he's of good size, good athlete,
strong.
Didn't
realize he was that big.
16.7 rebounds, 5 assists per game last year.
That's got to be the top guy in the portal right now.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I would probably venture to say so. I don't know who else would be challenging him. I'd have to pull up the rankings. But in terms of available guys, yeah, he's very high up there. I would imagine it'd take a big bag to be able to get him. But maybe he's from Brooklyn, not from the Bronx. He's from Brooklyn. And we'll see where that one, if Illinois is able to crack that, get him on campus for a visit. I think that's kind of probably where the baseline is of if the Illinois becomes a legit player in this recruitment. I just know that Eric Bossy for 24/7 Sports recently wrote about him and name-dropped Illinois as a team that's been in the mix, along with Kansas. I don't know if they are still pursuing that because they've landed a number of guys at guard/wing. But the St. John's is definitely one to focus on. Another name, Wuga Poplar from Miami, averaged 13 points, 5 rebounds per game last year. Junior, that was his past. He was a junior this past year. He's going to be a senior going forward. Shot 39% from 3, 86% from the free throw line. This guy can just flat out shoot. He's 6'5", 200 pounds, and I think he's a I've seen some dunk clips from him, pretty explosive. Now, another player that will be highly pursued, haven't seen anything regarding like a list or visits that he's taken, just know that he's got a lot of suitors right now. But Adam Zagoria dropped Illinois' name as someone that's at least reached out so far. That was, I think, yesterday or the day before that it was reported. So do you know much about Wuga Poplar, and what do you think about that one?
Good player, really good shooter. He was a guy who had a big role on that Final Four team with Miami. Wasn't maybe a primary scoring option on that team, but he had a couple big games in that tournament, I know, and just felt like he was a guy that you could trust and knock shots down. Did he shoot it a little worse than he had in the past this year? I know that whole Miami team, just nobody showed up this year for them. But
he was one guy that – the percentages on the whole, he dropped field goal percentage from the previous year, 47 down to 43. But from 3, he was 38 the year before.
Okay.
On 3 attempts a game. This past year, 39% on 5.5 attempts a game. That's a high volume and a really high percentage.
Yeah. And when you're looking at how you can kind of fill out this rotation and maximize your offensive ability, just getting another knockdown shooter, all of a sudden, we talked about shooting being a concern. If you're adding Benjamin Rickhouse to Kylan Boswell to a guy like Poplar to a stretch big like Jovicic to Carey Boot. Like, all of a sudden, you got a team who could be a really, really good three-point shooting team, and maybe that's a scenario where you really start to pivot towards that offensively, as opposed to, obviously, last year you played through two guys and neither guy was a knockdown shooter by any means. You were obviously, your offense is predicated on trying to attack the basket. And maybe this year you try to put together a team who's going to really light it up from three. Maybe that's, I'm trying to just envision scenarios, because at this point, I think the ship has sailed on getting a guy of Shannon or Damask caliber, unless it's Kidari Richmond, who I still think probably is just more of a talking point rather than a realistic possibility. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
How dare you? I'm just kidding. We'll see. It's a shoot your shot type of thing. We'll see.
But just adding another guy who can shoot a high volume efficiently, I think would fit this lineup pretty well. You need offense at this point.
I know Jeff said on the U of I Atlantic text line, talk a little bit more about the big guard from Spain, if you would. I think that's another guy in that mix. I doubt you'd be able to get him and a star from the portal, because I think it's going to cost probably in a similar ballpark, at least comparably. So Igor Demon, he's 18 years old. He's been listed anywhere around 6'8", 6'9". Just really, really skilled for his size. Natural ball handler. Can play the point for you. Can play a two-guard type, really one through three, but someone that throughout his career so far has had the ball in his hands and good assist numbers, great passer, ability to shoot it. Not a knockdown shooter from three, at least the percentages say this past year. Similar guy that's been playing in a pro league at a younger age, but 34% from three. So not bad, but not like a dead-eye type of guy from beyond the arc, but if you look at his numbers playing for the Real Madrid B team, he's played 21 games for them, 23 minutes a game, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 2+ steals. Like, he's the real deal. He's projected right now. Jonathan Givony, I know, is one of a handful of draft guys that have really hyped him up over the last year or so. And they have him slotted right now as a top 10 pick in next year's draft. So I think it'd be interesting between I know that I'm asking you to make a stance on somebody you're probably not that familiar with, but Igor Demon, Wuga Poplar, Kidari Richmond, who would you rather have of the three?
Definitely Richmond.
Yeah,
that's
Richmond.
A proven,
yeah,
really, really good college basketball player.
No doubt. Although having a lotto pick would be nice.
Yeah, I just, some of those, there's a lot of these guys that come through that are the international potential lottery picks, and we even saw one with UCLA this past year. I'm blanking on his name, probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it right anyway, but lottery pick before the season, played like 10 minutes a game for UCLA. Mm. So it's
really
kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, they went kind of heavy on the international route, and to your point, it didn't go well for them this past year.
No. We got to get a few more in here, but let's just wrap the show up. We forgot one thing here on a Friday.
We did. Let's celebrate the week that was. Toast to everybody. Should be a nice weekend. We were originally supposed to get rain today, but not here. I'll say thankfully, I guess. Doesn't mean I have to probably mow my yard after the show, but that doesn't matter to anybody else. 86, I think, it's sunny tomorrow, to a great weekend, good weather.
If you're a Cubs fan, you're going to need one of these in order to get yourself through watching this bullpen pitch.
To surviving the Cubs bullpen, to me drinking way too many cold ones if the Cardinals don't beat the White Sox tonight. And I'd probably want to kick back and drink a few just watching Sonny Gray pitch anyway. And to Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon Jr. for making the NBA Combine. We'll be interested to see what they do here later this month. But it's a Friday on the drive. You know how we celebrate. Get them in the air. Here's to you.
Happy hour.
All right, Kyle. We were supposed to take one more break, weren't we? So we got to get out. All right. Everybody enjoy their weekend. We'll be back next week. Good luck to Kyle. I think we'll see you before. You'll probably take your final, your first one before we see you again. So good luck to on your final on Monday.
Appreciate it.
Get a lot of studying and reading done over the weekend. Everybody just enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you then. Hopefully there's not, well, there's some news to talk about. I'm sure we will hit you with that on Monday. We're out. It's The Drive.